Well, look who came crawling back to the wardrobe. Look at you, you came back to listen in on the host, the guests, and the wardrobe for our new series, which is a bit different because it's no wardrobe. Someone's just joined the call. Never done a freeway Skype. Well, let's just jump straight in. If you haven't listened before, we basically just usually we get a guest into my wardrobe, but self-isolating times mean that we're remotely recording these. I've called it the Skype call series to be helpful, really, so then you know what's going on. Right, let's jump in. Right, so this week, this episode, whenever it is, I've decided Gregor Smith, who runs the show, basically, might as well. Anyway, he decided we'll have a mystery guest this week. As frequent listeners might know, it's a thing I used to do and I enjoyed a lot. So this week we have, who is it? Who's there? Who's on the other end?
It's Joel.
Joel.
A mystery stranger who's trapped in a wardrobe at demand of Gregor Smith.
Are you actually in a wardrobe?
I've crammed myself into the tightest corner of a wardrobe.
What? Not just a wardrobe, but in the corner of it?
Yeah. Well, I'm quite short, so, I don't want to take up too much space.
How short?
otherwise, it's just, there's other people to get in wardrobes when the apocalypse happens. So, shortest first.
So, right, okay. This is great. I'm glad we... This is the first time on a new series that someone's sat in their wardrobe. I appreciate the effort. So tell me, what's your wardrobe like?
Crowded, surprisingly. There's some comic books in here that aren't mine. They're actually my dad's. I can't actually see which ones they are because it's quite dark. So I've put my torch on my phone. Spider-Man? Anybody?
Anyone like Spider-Man out there?
Anybody? There's no one. It's not actually like live. It's just pre-recorded live. So, if you're listening on your headphones, just go, yeah.
Yeah, say to yourself, get your listeners really should listen to this in a wardrobe. I have been told that someone did sit under a clothes rail because they didn't have a wardrobe to access at the time. So I'm appreciating the lengths people are going. I suppose it helps that everyone's trying to confine themselves, so they're enjoying different spaces, I guess. I should point out the podcast to Lunar listeners isn't just me talking about wardrobes, as you might lean towards with this start. So tell me, how are you? What are you doing? Are you eating your microphone right now?
I'm moving a coat out of my face.
You're moving a sorry what?
A coat.
A coat.
Opening the wardrobe just a little bit to let some air in.
Oh, it's allowed. Please survive. Survive.
No, I will die for the arts.
It's noble. I've died many times for the arts, but,
How am I?
So sorry, this is the problem with Skype calls. Talk over each other all the time. Right, 3, 2, 1, go.
It's bad, this virus, isn't it? Keeping busy. How about you? How are you?
Oh wow, that's very nice of you to ask. Just staying away from it, putting garlic up on the walls and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've gone with the essential oils.
Okay.
Olive, canola. I'm just sort of like a priest going around just sort of spritzing the house every now and then with my fingers. Corona priest, because I'm Jewish, so we don't really do the whole spraying with holy water thing, so it's kind of new to me.
Okay.
So I'm hoping I'm getting my technique down.
Oh, that's good to hear. It's good. I mean, it's a different way of doing it.
It's a bad situation, but it's things like this, climbing in wardrobes that keeps us nimble on our toes as society begins to collapse all around us.
One person at a time, I will get in their wardrobe, and that's how we're going to defeat this thing, I think.
It's the ultimate isolation.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying. I've been saying this podcast like metaphorical. It's just metaphorical. It's not literal. No. Yeah. I don't know what I was trying to say. So come on, tell me, Joel, what's who is Joel?
Who is, God.
In a nutshell, we want it under half an hour, really.
I quite like the little tagline I have on my Facebook page, which is future Channel 5 documentary.
Nice.
Because it can either be something about how success ruined my life, played by C-list actors from, you know, the local drama club, or it can be about how the government is coming to take my stuff away, which my mother marathons on weekends because there's nothing on TV. So I'm just going to gawp at the poor for a bit.
All right. No, that's a good way of summarising it, I guess.
Yeah. Channel 5 in the making as a person.
You are Joel Channel 5. That's what we've learned from you. You're not primetime TV, are you?
No. Never.
Never. We're talking
I'm not even that's TV. I'm not even like that's Manchester or whatever it is. You know, I'm Channel 5. I'm what people flick through very quickly. But the old people will stop and look if there's a World War II movie on.
What a wonderful analogy for yourself. I don't think you do yourself justice, though. I mean, I don't know. This is the first time I've talked to you and you're sitting in your wardrobe talking to me. So that tells you what kind of what you're willing to do.
Oh, shit. Hang on.
Day night.
I am readjusting.
Oh, God. The wardrobe's caving in on him.
Okay.
So, are you okay?
All right, there you go. I've got you balanced between Spider-Man and an old coat.
Oh, what you listen? Is it just on your phone?
Yeah, I was like, do I bring my entire laptop in? Do I have to like wire my microphone through? But then I was like, do you know what? We've got mini computers that we carry around, and I can see everything.
Isn't that crazy? You ever stop to think about that?
I try not to, just in case.
Roughly, how old are you?
I am 25.
Solid age. It's
solid age.
You're only 25 once. Always said that. Oh, but also, not only that, it's like, you know, it's five. It's pretty much, actually, I'll say 25 is the best age. Good, put it out there.
I don't know. 23 was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, 23 is better, actually. Forget it.
No, 19 was good because then I could do that drunken shout to that song, you know, you're not 19 forever. And I don't know any of the other words because I don't remember any of it. Like, I don't remember most of the times that song was played.
I don't think I know that song. Sorry.
No.
Give us a bit.
You're not 19 forever. Ah.
Fantastic.
That's honestly the front end of my knowledge of music.
What you did there is you took the title of the song and just sang it.
Yep.
Barely sang it. I don't want to be rude, but you basically just said it quickly. You put a bit of an R on, which I appreciate.
That's how I was singing. That's on me. You know, my musical knowledge is limited.
Well, don't worry. We're all just trying to get by. So come on, tell me. What are you doing in these times? How is self-isolation impacted on your personal life?
So I was, just before the isolation started, you know, before the virus started kicking in, like around the end of late February, I got sacked from my job at an auction house, which was a great joy. It was a terrible job. So not too fussed, but my appendix decided that it was going to burst.
Oh.
The Monday after being fired. So I spent 3 weeks, you know, a week in a hospital, 2 weeks recovering, and then being told, actually, you can't go outside now, so see ya. So my life, you know, while self-isolating, has just gotten 3 o'clock in the afternoon's a good time to get out of bed.
Well, it's when it rains, it pours, they say.
Yeah, when life gives you lemons, you know,
throw lemons on the floor
and watch them rot because you can't bend down because your appendix is trying to leave your body.
Oh, God.
A great story about when I was getting the, when I went into A&E and they took my blood is they said, you're not going to faint, are you? And I said, no, I'm not going to faint. And woke up 5 minutes later with my, in the toilet, having evacuated everything from the last 3 days out of my bowels because the sight of blood apparently doesn't make me faint, but makes me shit myself.
Oh, God.
And then also, while under anesthesia, during the surgery, an emergency came in. So they sort of just pushed me to the side for 2 hours while they dealt with something a bit more important than my appendix.
Oh, God. Well, you'd be delighted.
So, it was a great time. You know, you get to people watch, they people watch you back, and then it just ends up as an awkward staring contest as you... phone runs out.
Oh dear.
But yeah, no, it's a fun time. But you know, doing some video editing here and there, doing this, sitting in a wardrobe, life's never been better.
Hello. Please remain indoors for the safety of you and others around you for the time being. Also, do you have any apples on your Animal Crossing island? I need like another 4 orchards so that I can just take these 2 raccoons for the roots that they are, turning fruit into infrastructure. Now this is gaming.
What's the video editing you do then?
So I am currently editing together a... I thought it would be a short video. I think if you... speak to Gregor after this, he can attest to my, I thought this was going to be short, but it's actually turned out to be nearly an hour long video on the new video game Doom Eternal.
Okay, this is a good segue. Let's go into it. Doom Eternal. What's the video about? Is it like a review or is it like a...
Yeah, so like the first half is like a catch up on what Doom and Doom is sort of thing. Everyone's already heard that, so I condensed it down to about 2-3 minutes, and then it goes into like the soft reboot of Doom 2016 to a short retrospective on like, hey, this is why Doom 2016 is so good, because the other two games that came before it were really bad. And then Doom Eternal is like more traditional review sort of thing, just like, hey, Doom Eternal's not great.
Is it not?
No. It's, you're going from like, Doom 2016 is like a perfect video game and it's funny in the right ways of like, hey, this character can't actually believe you guys let hell take over Mars again. And he, you know, and he's sort of pissed off the whole way through. So,
yeah.
You know, he's kicking story elements out of the wall. You know, because he doesn't want to do it carefully because he's just like, fuck this. But then Doom Eternal sort of has got the wrong end of the stick of why the previous one was funny and also why the previous one worked. And it's sort of like, hey, let's do everything. You know, video games, let's just do that.
Well, it's called Doom Eternal.
Yeah. But also, like, do you want... If someone said, hey, we made this video game where you can kill... lots and lots of demons forever and ever. But also, we're going to make you wait 3 seconds in between flamethrower bursts. And it sort of misses the point of, like, killing demons of hell by putting arbitrary cooldowns on things.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess I haven't played Doom Eternal. I played about half of Doom, the 2016 one. What I got is it's just high octane, going around, killing everything. Really intense and all that, but the next step up is to try and, what can you do the next step up? Can you just repeat it, or do you try and change it up a bit? And the failure is, I reckon if they just basically just took the Doom 2016 one and just did it again, pretty much. Like, obviously, with differences. Mm. Like, but from what I can tell, the Doom Eternal is they tried to add a bit too much.
It's way too much. Like, Doom 2016 was intense, but at least you could, like, follow what was going on half the time.
Mm.
I'm watching back the footage that I've captured of Doom Eternal, and it is utterly... I'm honestly confused as to how I was following it while playing it, because I can't really follow what's going on the screen at all. It's like being... It's like whenever I get my blood taken, but the aftermath on screen, but demons of hell.
That's not a very glowing review, then.
No.
Doom Eternal makes me shit myself.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So do you do that regularly then, video editing?
I'm trying to get into it a little bit more. I was doing some of it with the auction house, but there's not really a lot to film when a lot of it's filled with broken boxes and you're trying to make it look like a stellar business. But yeah, it's,
I can imagine.
Hey, here's this box that's been bashed in about 6 times by God knows who, and I don't even know what's in it. Oh, it's 3 broken TVs. That can't go in a video. So now I'm actually doing proper video editing again, which I used to do with the University of Lincoln and haven't really had much of a chance to do much since.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, using unemployment to get employment again, doing the things that I enjoy.
What did you study at University of Lincoln then?
Journalism, investigative journalism, but I try to forget that.
Now I see the link between you and Gregor. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So
the curse linked us together.
Well, University of Lincoln's a curse. Am I right? I'm right. So what? You must have been in 2018 or something that you finished uni?
2016. So I've done videos since then, but not as frequently as I have been doing now that the government has mandated that we stay inside.
Of course.
So it's, even though there's this killer virus, it's got its upsides in some capacity of, hey, I found this thing that I used to enjoy and now I enjoy doing it again.
Oh yeah, absolutely, definitely. But equally, it's like that. Like, I'm writing a script at the moment, and it's like, now I've got no bloody excuse, have I?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Write it. And then you sit there going, but do I have to write it? Like, before I could be like, I actually don't have the time. And now it's like, I do have the time, but oh God, it's hard to get the motivation for it.
Yeah. Even,
I like doing stuff like that, but yeah.
I miss the time pressure of being told to do something and then having to squeeze your brain so that you get the concentrated, like, last-minute panic of, hey, this is really good, but also this would have been better if I timed it well.
Mm. Yes, time management when you yourself are the only person putting any pressure on it is very hard to manage. Yeah, I agree with that. Can I, going back to your auction house thing, I hope you don't mind me saying, when you lost your job there, did they go, going and gone? It's Joel. I risked that. I tested the waters and felt that you wouldn't mind me saying that joke.
No, that would have been way better, but I sat... That would have actually softened the blow, but also, yeah, no, I've not actually, no one's actually made a joke about it outside of, like, the guy that used to run the place was a joke, so that was more than enough to just carry everything through, but someone actually making that joke, they're still open during the virus, even though the government has them on a list, saying, has a big list saying that auction houses should close, but
who's buying stuff?
I don't know. This is the thing. But also, like, they're not allowing the public in, so I don't know.
Look through that window. Here's the item. Can you see it? Everyone see it? You have to speak a bit louder. Maybe their phone, I don't know what kind of auction house it was, but maybe there was, like, Because I've only watched, what's it called, with David Dickinson?
Bargain Hunt.
And you got, people on the phones. It's like, oh, people on the phone. He's got a bid in. Maybe the phones are ringing loud in auction houses these days.
So it's, it's weird because I saw, a side of the modern auction house that you never really see on, these bargain hunts and, Antiques Roadshow and stuff. But a lot of it is all online, and there seems to be a monopoly on who runs the online auction scene in the UK. And they do live streams. And so the place I was working at did live streams, but sitting through those while they were doing the live streams with the microphone on and being told, hey, you can't use your headphones while this is going on because customers are in the building. So you need to look the part. Then it's impossible to get anything done because for 6 hours, all you can hear is Oldham proper Mancunian accents through a microphone through the entire warehouse. But yeah, no, it is wild the amount of auction houses there across the UK, and they're all selling shite.
Yeah, I went to an auction house a few months back to get some stuff valued, and that's all I did. I was just in there. I was I don't know what I expected it to be, but it was just this room. And I was oh. And there was this guy there who was yeah, these are worth a bit. And I was oh, great. And he was do you want to set up an auction? I was no. And then I put the stuff on eBay. But they did it for free. So it's yeah, there you go. And they kind of help people use the auctions, but it's what? No, just do it online. Yeah. You know what? I just realized that I've completely just, it's just coming to me just now, out of nowhere, is where exactly are you? I don't even know where, I know you're in your wardrobe, but whereabouts is that wardrobe? I presume it's somewhere in the UK.
It's in Manchester. In a wardrobe in Manchester, trapped. Trapped. The coats are much heavier than I thought they were.
Are they falling down on you?
which is the one that I'm using to prop up my phone so that I can look directly into the call at the soft stuff gag that seems to have enveloped the entire screen.
So have you lived in Manchester for a long time, or is it somewhere
this you moved? This is outside of the 3 years at Lincoln. This is pretty much where I've been all my entire life. You know, I've visited different places. I've visited London, and I was no thanks.
Sorry.
What?
Carry on with your story.
Lincoln gave me a taste of small town, and then I realized oh no, during the summer it's just full of old people. There's nothing here.
Won't be soon. Sorry. you got to laugh. You got to laugh, you'll cry. No, I get you. I get what you're, so before Lincoln, were you used to a bigger city then?
Yeah. So when I got to Lincoln, I was I knew it was small, but I didn't realize you could just walk in a circle and you'd probably end up in the same place you started.
Mm.
Whereas with Manchester, you can walk in a circle and eventually take the wrong street. And then you're sort of doing one of those mazes you used to get Frankie and Benny's when you were a kid.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the mazes where they give you the crayons and then...
Oh, right, yeah. I don't think that's specific to Frankie and Benny's necessarily, but...
That was my nearest... It was either that or...
Furthest memory.
Yeah, furthest memory. You know, when I think back on my childhood, I think of those two men, Frankie and Benny.
It's better.
It's better than thinking back on my memories of primary school, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't think many people have very happy memories of primary school.
I don't know. I enjoyed school lunches. That was my weird thing about primary school.
Yeah, you enjoyed your school lunches? Sure,
Because I was a fat kid.
Okay.
So it was hell yeah, this place is going to give me seconds? Cool.
Why not? Sounds like to me that, the moment's gone, hasn't it? But it sounds like to me that you were just... walking in circles too much when you're talking about these towns that you grew up in and went to.
Yeah, I lived my life on the protractor scale, so you put two of those together.
You have to You have to do so many circles in Manchester. It's why you're always late. It's why the why I fired you from the auction house, because you're always so late. And it was like, well, I'd circled around for like 2 hours just to get here. Sorry about that. It's just one of my conditions.
Exactly. You know, I. And then also in the email that when he sacked me, he said, "You walk around in circles all day. You just sit there in the office, stand there in the office, walking around in circles. It's starting to scare us a little bit."
And then you were like, well, an auction house is always going around in circles. They're always being like, sold, things like that.
Exactly. So, you know, I said it's better to be a circle than a square.
Too right. Squares everywhere. Go down. What did you do before you worked at the auction house then? Because I feel like we've talked about that enough.
I was, what was the role? Content creator for the pro video team at Scan Computers, which sounds fancier than it actually was.
It does sound fancy. What did that involve?
I wrote about video equipment to be sold on the internet and digested large PDFs for video editing software, so then convert it into words that anybody can read. Yeah, that place is, you know when people say, oh, my workplace is weird, that place was weird.
Why is that? Go on, give us your story.
So, like, here's this company that accidentally stumbled into AI because of a gamble they made back in, like, 2006, 2007, when PC parts were starting to get cheaper and custom-built PCs were starting to get all popular because of the gamers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, instead of banking on CPUs, which is just a computer processing unit, it's the little square thing on your motherboard that makes the computer think, basically. They banked on graphics cards because they thought, hey, these gamers, they want the best graphics, and that's what we're going to give them. And then it turns out, like, 12 years later, a guy suddenly went, what if we did AI? And accidentally sort of made this multi-million pound company like a legitimate force because of a weird gamble some guy made back in 2006. And I got to sit behind their desks, and it sounded like the most painful, boring tasks on the planet, which was discussing AI with people. Because as exciting as, you know, tech news and everything makes it sound, AI is really boring.
No, there's no Steven Spielberg out there, is there? It's not going to be that.
No, it is ones and zeros and large boxes that cost a minimum of £300,000.
Oosh. No thanks.
Which PayPal credit would help you purchase for the low cost of £19,000 a month across 6 months.
It's worth a gamble then, isn't it?
Worth a gamble, you know. See what happens. Put some numbers in. But, they didn't appreciate when I would turn around and ask them, you know, and make references to an old kid's show called Bertha.
Bertha?
Bertha is a wonderful machine.
Go on, what's Bertha?
It was a kid's show set in a factory about a machine and then the team that would box up whatever the machine made.
Oh, yes. That's good.
Yeah, but no, the most interesting thing I took away from that is that video is coming a long way and seems to be mostly avoiding the pitfalls of other tech industries by actually doing cool stuff rather than not, you know, stagnating.
Yeah.
We're pushing video through Ethernet now. That's the new thing. Say goodbye to expensive cables and just lengths of Ethernet. Yes.
There's a common theme in these new ones I'm doing of people who are trying to big up the film and TV industry and that. So I thank you for that. I'm going to round it up now, if that's
cool.
All right. You got anything you want to talk about? Any last words?
You know, wouldn't recommend sitting in a wardrobe for half an hour.
No.
Gonna say that. maybe if it just sort of like got past the hump that I'm currently on, which is bad back.
Sorry, don't sue me.
I won't. You've got that legally binding podcast audio now, so it's fine.
All right, well, thank you so much for calling. It's been great getting to talk to you and hearing about the auction and the videos and the content creation. It's and Doom, everything. So thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me talk at you.
I hope you didn't cut yourself.
I haven't.
Could be an interesting end to the podcast. When your Doom video is going to come out, and
point next week.
And
keep an eye on superprofessional.co.uk.
Super professional.
Yeah.
Superprofessional.co.uk. I'll link that in the podcast description, and you can go check out Joel's Doom video. I'll check it out myself. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
All right, get some water down here, and stay hydrated from
you the too.
And then wash your hands.
Wash my hands.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.